Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, Dr. Heather Curtin from Trinity College focuses a lot of her work on children's gait and how they walk. And research she recently published claims that kids with mobility issues can be greatly helped by a mobility assistance dog. To explain what that is and how that all works, she joins us now. Good afternoon, Heather.
Oh, afternoon, Sean. Thanks so much for having me on.
So what is a mobility assistance dog?
Well, a mobility assistance dog has been trained specifically to help a child or adult to walk. So we've had assistance dogs since the 13th century, traditionally helping visually impaired people. And then in the 1930s, they began having a rigid handle so they could use it as a guide dog. And then more recently, down in Cork, a charity called Irish Dogs for Disabled had a very novel training method where they're training a dog as a mobility aid for children with the likes of cerebral palsy. So we know that children with walking impairment, like cerebral palsy, often have difficulty walking and they often need help to walk, be this by using a walker or aids or splints or holding someone's hand. And the idea with the dog is that it acts as a balancing aid physically, encourages them to walk more by it being fun and motivating, but also there's a huge emotional and social facilitation effect through the dog as well.
So. No doubt. But so I assume the dog has to have some sort of special harness to allow the person or the child to kind of lean on them a little bit.
Well, not lean on. We would just say maybe balance through, just a little bit of a correction. So the dog wears a harness which has been bespokely designed for them. It's a leather harness and then there's a rigid handle. And then the child would walk a little bit more closely to them than with a traditional guide dog handle. So they walk to the side of the dog and then they would just do a little rebalance through the rigid handle if they need a bit of balance, especially found helpful for over gravel or on beaches or going up and down steps or navigating, you know, uneven terrain or through crowds. But also what the big finding was that they were just really, really proud to be out and about with their dog and just enjoyed walking with the dog a lot more.
Well, so no doubt, yeah. And what kind of training do these dogs have to be able to do this? I assume it's something similar to a guide dog.
Yeah, they go through a lot of training. Some of them don't make the cut. So the dogs are specifically bred to be assistance dogs. Up until the age of 18 months or 2 years, they're socialized. They're always looking for puppy socializers in the charity. And then they go off and they do their training. They are trained to not help the child navigate obstacles, to listen to commands, to be a stable base of support and to help them navigate their environment. So they go through a lot of training. And some of them aren't suitable. They're very placid, very, very intelligent dogs. So I was very lucky to work with both dogs and children in this project. In my day-to-day work, I measure walking. So we measure the physical functioning. We do motion analysis of walking, helping kind of guide decisions around orthotics and intervention and surgeries and things like that. But there's been a shift in the focus in therapies recently to not looking at physical outcomes, to looking at what are known as the F words. So therapies should look at how it can be fun for the child, how it can include family, look at their fitness, the future for the child, look at their function and include their friends. And there's a huge opportunity for dogs, mobility dogs, to meet all of those F words. So it's a very, very novel and new training method. So you have to look at that with a very wide lens. So that's where the kind of Trinity research project came in. It was called the mixed methods project. So you're not only measuring the walking of the children, you're also measuring their overall quality of life and also how physically active they are. So I had them all wearing something a little bit like a Fitbit, but a lot more sensitive, because a lot of these children did walking very hard for them. They walk very slowly with little steps. So something like a Fitbit wouldn't be very accurate. So they wore like a little ankle worn accelerometer or a sensor to look at how active they were. And then I also did interviews with all of the families to find what they felt. So to get their perspective on it as well, because it's such a new thing, just to measure the walking only wouldn't be fair. So it was a kind of a wide lens on what was a very novel and new topic. But overall, the findings, certainly from the parents in the interviews, is overwhelmingly positive. So they're all finding the dog a really positive addition to the family.
So I would imagine. They also intersect in the sense that if you get this new family member and the child is delighted with this dog, the child feels better about him or herself. They're more inclined to go out walking with the dog, which boosts their confidence, but it also makes them better at walking.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I think, what the charity has found anecdotally for years. And that's why they have such big waiting lists. I mean, the demand is there for these dogs. The family all love the dogs. And then we want to show, well, why is that? So when we look at the perceptions of the family, there was five teams coming out. The parents are reporting that their child is physically functioning better. They feel that their walking is much easier, as I said, over the different terrains. They can go to the beach. They can go places that they couldn't. They're also, a lot of them would hold the parents' hand, and they're getting to the age of 10 or 11. They don't want to hold their parents' hand. So just physically functioning a little bit better. And then that they were motivated to go out and about places. So if your walking isn't quite perfect, sometimes you don't want to go out, and they can be very, very aware of their walking. But when they were with the dog, they wanted to go out because they were proud of the dog and wanted to show off the dog. And then it encouraged them to walk more. They said, well, if the dog is there, they kind of forget that they get a little bit tired or a little bit sore, and they're getting that exercise. So we all have these exercise guidelines, and children with disabilities should be meeting these guidelines, and it might, you know, help them to meet those guidelines through the dog because it's fun. And then there's massive gains in social facilitation. So the dog was described as an icebreaker. So a lot of people have said that it's quite difficult to interact with someone with a disability because sometimes they don't know what to say. But having the dog is this medium that they can talk about and talk through. And it's normal to go up and talk to someone about their dog, but sometimes people don't know how to interact with someone with a disability. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely very clearly the theme came through that it facilitates social inclusion, so with their peers, with their friends, in their school, and just helping them navigate going into their teenage years as they grow and going into new schools, that they had this furry friend that they were really proud of and they wanted to show off. We also showed a theme in just personal development for the children. So they were reported as being braver, more confident, that they were willing to try new things with the dog, and that the dog was there as an emotional support for them. As again, if they had to, a lot of these children with impairments have to go through a lot of appointments and things like surgeries and Botox and appointments with many different therapies. So the dog helped them deal with that. And also there was a positive for the whole family. We found that the family tended to get out and about more together. And there was a positive for the siblings as well. Sometimes, you know, the siblings in the family don't know how to deal with their child who has a disability, but they could tell their friends about this cool dog they had. And they were very proud to tell then their friends about their sibling who had this cool new dog, and they could describe their disability through the dog. So that was the perceptions of the parents. But then we also did more objective measures of their walking and their physical activity and their quality of life as well.
People listening, especially the parents of kids who might have walking issues, are going, yeah, I want to get one of them. Now it's Irish Dogs for the Disabled who you were cooperating with in the study and who trained these dogs, as I understand it. Is there a waiting list?
Oh, I think they have a waiting list of up to 2 years. Like the dogs are, it was all very individual, the findings as well. Like the families who have these dogs all wanted dogs. You know, they're dog people. It's not going to be, you know, dogs for all. You know, the dogs were individually matched to each of the children as well. So they do have a waiting list, but it's all charitable. I mean, there's no cost, and it's all self-funded through the charity at the moment. But yeah, it is certain children, and the outcome of the study as well, that certain children benefit more from walking with the dog than other children. So there was a mix of children in the study. Some children had milder walking impairment and some had more physical needs, and that they might be a wheelchair user the majority of the time, all the children benefited socially and psychologically and emotionally. So in the quality of life outcome measures, we showed that there was positive, significant positive findings across the board for the children. But from the physical point of view, improving their walking and physical activity, it was just seen in the children with milder impairments. So the children who had more balance issues, they benefited physically from the dogs. So the charity are now kind of honing their skills and just fine tuning what they're doing in that they're training the dogs a little bit more for the children with milder walking impairment. And then for those who are more, let's say, wheelchair users, the majority of the time, that they'll involve it in their therapy sessions more and use it more from maybe an emotional point of view and a motivational point of view. Because a lot of these children have to do physio every day. They have to do exercises and it can be really hard work. But having the dog there was shown to make it all just a little bit more easy and a little bit more enjoyable as well.
Yeah. Heather, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Heather Curtin from the Trinity School of Engineering and the Gate Laboratory at the Central Remedial Clinic.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.